Revelation 2, verse 8. And let's stand in honor of reading God's word. Revelation 2, verse 8. Everybody there? It filled up. It was empty when I said that. When I was up here a while ago. All right. Huh? I got one. Yeah, y'all pray for my voice. I know God's gonna, it's gonna be all right. We'll continue our series in Revelation. And the word says, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer indeed. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And again, I praise you and I honor you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord God. I pray for every soul that's in this house, Lord God. And Father, I lift up this country to you this morning, Lord God, and the whole world, Lord God, that they may find you, Lord God. And Father, I come to you as we go over this book, Lord God, the final chapter, Lord. And God, that we would just stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and you'd use me as a mouthpiece of your people, Lord God, and Father, for your glory. God, I pray that your word that you say this morning, Lord God, regardless of what a lot of the people say in the world, a lot of religious people say, that Genesis and Revelations, Lord God, are just not sure if they're true or not, or who wrote it, Lord. But I know that you wrote it. It's the final chapter of the book, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you just speak through me to your people this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Revelation. I mentioned that I, in my prayer just then, about I got a email this week from I don't know where they're from, but anyway, Fort Worth, I think, they're having a conference on whether Genesis or Revelations are really. That's the deal. So anyway, that's going on in the world that we live in. But let's look at this church of Smyrna. And the first verse says, verse 8, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna write. And so somebody asked me the other day, I mentioned that it was to the pastor. If you look up the Greek word for angel, it means angelos, and angelos means minister. So God is writing this revelation to the angel, to the minister of the church, and he is telling them the things that they're about to go through. The church of Smyrna is where modern-day Turkey is at now. They were a great seaport. Smyrna means myrrh. They were famous for the myrrh, I can't think what it is now, but the myrrh that was used, you remember the myrrh that was used, and it's a spice that grows on a bush. That's what they were famous for. And if you read the book of Revelation, the churches that we'll be going through over the next few weeks or months, you will find out that this is one of the churches that were doing everything. God couldn't find anything wrong about them, against them. And so he says to the angel, in other words, to the minister and to the church at Smyrna, write these things. Says the first, remember, I'm going to go over this every time. Jesus Christ is the first. Jesus Christ says the first and the last who was dead and who came to life. He was the first. He went to that cross at Calvary for you and I, his church, his people. He died and he arose again, and one day he was going to come back. He was the first. He left us for a spell, and he is coming back. And he is writing this to the church. And so the word says, verse 9, I know your works. Let's stop there. He's telling the church, I know your works. In other words, I know what you are doing. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about Oakhurst Full Gospel Church. And I want you to think about all of the churches in the world. You see, there was, let me get the count on them, I don't know it by, in my mind, but there was 8 or 9 churches right here, or 7 churches, that God was giving this revelation to John on the island of Patmos. But he wrote to these churches that were his churches in order for them to reach the other churches that were failing in Smyrna and around the world. And so he says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. And he says, your tribulation. I'll talk about the tribulation. Church at Smyrna was, as I said, the only church that was there, that of all the churches, of 7 churches that was there, that was, they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were coming up against all kind of tribulation because the Jews were there. The Jews were trying to teach them something and they refused to do it. So they were going, not only with the Jews, and it was a big seaport, they were also coming, the city officials were coming against them because they weren't doing everything the way they wanted them to do, for taxes and that thing. So the church was standing against the government and against religion. And I'm going to submit to y'all this morning that that is exactly what we are going to have to do as Christians, as God Church in Oakhurst, Texas. We are going to have to stand up for Jesus Christ no matter what happened. Yeah. Buddy sang that song, Victory in Jesus. That is the only thing that there is going to be victory in, is the victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He told them, I know you work. I know you're doing good. And it's almost like God is, and remember he told John, write these things. He is almost telling them, like, I know you're working hard. I know you're doing everything. I know you just came out of revival. I know that your church was full this week. I know that people were saved. I know you're doing right. And I know that there is going to be tribulation because there are people that does not like that. Right here in this church, and you can ask Brother Darrell, it started in December. Some of our people used music CDs to play off of and sing by. They started, Facebook started cutting them things because they say that we don't have the right to do it, even though we pay $500 to do it a year. But also some of the things that I would say, they would bleep it out, they'd cut me off. And so we live in a world today where the church, is coming under tribulation. We are being attacked by the government, by the devil. And he says, I know your work. I know your tribulation. And he said, I know your poverty. They had, these people at Smyrna was a church that were doing everything that they could do for God. They were sharing. They were feeding the hungry. They were going to everybody and telling, and they were hurting. And it reminds me a lot of churches today that's really trying to do it. But it reminds me of churches today that's really trying to do things that are for God. Listen to what he says. He says, but you're rich. A lot of people think they have a whole lot of money. That's not what he's talking about. You are rich in the spirit. You are rich. You are doing everything that I told you to do. And church at Oakhurst, as far as I know, as your leader, as the pastor of the church, Jesus Christ is the one that is over this church. I am the one that is chosen at this time to lead y'all. And I'm going to do everything that I can do to lead y'all in the right direction. And if I step on your toes, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ. If I say something that you don't agree with, let's pray about it. But listen, God said, I know you're rich in the spirit. It's almost like Jesus is pleading with John to tell this church this, because They're doing everything that's right. And they're living in a world of darkness, a world that's falling apart. Is that not us today? We're living in a world that is crumbling. And I'll tell you again, the only way out is victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's it. He is the only way. But he says, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogues of Satan. Do you realize there are synagogues of Satan all around? I'm not naming no churches here in Oakhurst. I'm saying around the world, around the United States of America. Just like I opened up the email last night, checked them, invited to a conference with some people that I knew were Revelation, they preached on Revelation all the time. Now they're having a conference on, is Genesis really real? Is Revelation really real? And they got these speakers, 7 or 8 of them, going to meet in Dallas next weekend and talk about Genesis, Revelation. Is it really a fact? You see, we live in a world where half the preachers, and I'm not by half, I'm probably missing it, probably 90%, will not preach on hell, will not preach on Revelation, because the rest of the world says, well, it may just be, you know, John might have just had a dream. You know, Genesis might just be, that's not a, every word in this book that I read from every Sunday is God's word, and God intended for each and every one of us to live by it, and we'll read it in a minute. If we live by it, we're going to heaven. If we don't, we're going to hell. That's all there is to it. There ain't no in between. It's heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27, I've quoted all the time. It is appointed a man to die and then the judgment. You ain't going nowhere when you die except to heaven or hell. One way or the other, you're going. You are going to heaven or hell. Make up your mind what you want to do. He tells the church, you're rich in the spirit. I know that you're being talked about. I know that you're being, that you're, you know, that the leader of the church, he talked to the leader in the church, the pastor. He said, I know you're preaching the truth. I know it seems like a battle, but just hang in there. Because in the end, there's victory in Jesus. And Buddy had no idea what I was going to preach this morning. He said, verse 10, do not fear any of those which you are about to suffer. Do not fear. Do not. I don't know how Brother Cherry talked about that in his last sermon Wednesday night. Don't fear. God said don't fear. Have you got to the point in your life where you don't fear? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't look at the situation of the world. God gave us these words right here. He gave us Matthew 24. He gave us Timothy, the whole Bible to warn us of things to look at. You do this and you don't do this. When this happened, pay attention to this. He said, don't fear any of you. Don't fear. I don't care if you are the one that is getting beat up. Are you the one that's on top in the spirit right now? Don't fear, because I am with you. Again, there will be victory in Jesus. There will be victory in Jesus. And he said, do not fear any of those which you are about to suffer. What's he saying? Do not fear those which you are about to suffer. There's a lot of preachers that stand in the pulpit this morning that will stand there and say, you just come down here and you accept Jesus Christ and everything's going to be fine. That's not the way it is. It's quite the opposite. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life and you come down here and you really get saved, then that's when the devil really starts to get you. He wants to ride you back. He wants to knock you down. He wants to put you down. And that's the reason God says, don't fear. because you are going to suffer indeed. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. You're gonna be thrown in, it says, in the like tribulation 10 days in this situation. But you are going to have to suffer for Jesus Christ. What did Jesus himself do? Jesus went to come to this world. He walked, he talked, he healed, he rose the dead from the grave. He got all of the apostles trained. He died. He was beaten beyond anything any of us can ever imagine. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again. And he is going to come back. He said, I am the first, the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the first. I am the last. It is going to be finished again. Victory in Jesus. That is all it's in. And so he said, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. I'll tell you something. I don't talk a whole lot about situations in the world and what I think and all that, because it's all about Jesus Christ. And as far as I'm concerned, the Bible tells us in the end of this book right here that anybody that adds to or takes away is in trouble. But as I've already said, God wrote this for us to know what was going to take place in the last. And you say, that preacher was talking about, this is the end of the book. It's just a few pages left. Every story has a book, has an ending. I didn't read about three books in my life, and that was Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and Johnny Texas and some of them kind of books. But there's always an end to that book. How'd you like to watch a movie and they just shut it off in the middle of the movie? This is the end of the book, and God said these are the things that are going to happen in church at Smyrna, church at Oakhurst, churches that are living right. This is what's going to happen. And he did not say, he said, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Don't fear what you fix. But did he say, do not fear because you're not going to suffer? He said, don't fear. So let me tell you something. This is just me. You don't have to believe it or not. And I sure don't know. Mr. Putin over there in Russia is a time bomb waiting to happen. Do not fear. God said, don't fear. But you're fixing to suffer. If he, today, tomorrow, this week, if he launches a missile, it's over. I'm not talking about the world's come down. No, nobody know. I'm talking about life as we know it. If he launches a missile, a nuclear missile, then life as we have known it is going to change. There's going to be a world war. There's going to be a world war. And he said, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I got you. Listen to what he said. He says, he who has an ear, let me back it and get ahead of myself. He says, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison. That may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful to death. And one of my favorite verses is a comforting verse to me is in Matthew 24. This is, God tells us, a lot of preachers preach that, well, I don't think we're going to have to go through any of the tribulation period. God says in Matthew 24:22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. For the elect's sake, we are the elect. We are God's people. For our sake, we're not going to have to go through as much trouble as others are going to have to go through. But people, we are going to have to go through some suffering. Because God says, He said, do not fear these things. The devil is about to throw you into prison. And that some of you are going to suffer. You're going to suffer. But you are going to suffer. So don't think that we get a free pass. We win in the end. Like I said, victory in Jesus. But we, as God's people, are going to have to go through this. Do we understand this morning? This church was God's church. This church was doing what God said to do. This church was rich in the Spirit. Don't say nothing about them, but they were rich in the Spirit. They had a pastor that was leading them in the right direction. They were doing everything that they could do. And God said, I know you're doing it. And a lot of times, like the Jewish people, see, they're still looking for the Messiah to come to save them. Our Messiah has already come. He went to the cross. He died. He arose again. And he is coming back again. Brother Perry, Brother Sherry preached that the other night. John 14, 1 through 7. He said, I'm coming. I am coming. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I go, you will be always. You're going to be there. But he says, see what he said in the last part of this? He says, be faithful until death. Be faithful unto death. I got a question for you this morning. If they walk up to your house and they say, are you a Christian? And if you're not a Christian, put your hand behind your back. We're going to take you to jail. What are you going to do? He said, you're going to suffer. Be faithful. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you, or is your mind focused on that? You see, you got to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's number one. You have that Holy Spirit that is living in you that's telling you right from wrong. You obey what that Spirit tells you to do. But there is a time of discipline in a Christian's mind, just like me. I've lost 131 pounds. Do you think I've done that just because I wanted to do it? I did it because I wanted to do it. But do you think I could do that on my own? No. One day, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I told Jesus, help me. I'm tired of this weight. It's killing me. I had both knees replaced. I'm tired of it. At some point in your life, you got to tell the Lord, I'm tired of trying to live the way that I've been living. I'm tired of playing Christian. I'm tired of going to church and just going through the motions, saying a little prayer here, saying a little prayer there, praying when I really need something. You got to get, say, I'm tired, and you got to discipline yourself to stay in God's word and be able to, when that day comes, however it comes. I got a funeral Friday, a woman, Ann Markham, we've had on our prayer list. She died 2 weeks ago. I talked to her on the telephone, playing with her, messing with her. And she had no idea she'd be dead. And I'm doing her funeral Friday. You may go like that. Are you ready? However it comes. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to see Hebrews 9:27 come alive in your life? Point a man to die, then the judgment. Not going to be no lawyer, not going to be no jury. You're going to go before God, and he's going to say, well done, a good and faithful servant, enter in. Or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the Bible says that he is going to say that. The Bible says that people are going to go before him. I sound like Minnie Mouse. People are going to go before him. And they're going to say, but God, I went to church at Oakhurst. I went to church 25 years. I paid my tithe. I even helped them in the kitchen. I done this. I done. God said, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because some of you are sitting here this morning, I promise you, that thank you good, but you hadn't done. There's one thing you got to do. And that is, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And until you do that, it don't make any difference what you do. It don't make any difference. You can quote every verse in this Bible through and through. You have got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then when you get him, you have got to pray and read his word and study and stay focused. I tell you all the time, it's not a Sunday thing and a Wednesday thing, a Wednesday night thing. It's a 7 day a week, 365 days a year. You've got to discipline yourself. Hey, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible. You don't know how many times people tell me I want to do it, but I just don't have time. Think about what you're saying. You don't have time for the one that died for you and prepared a place for you in glory. You don't have time for him. Well, if you got kids in school, got to get up early in the morning, you know what I know? I started long ago, 1980-something. I've got books from 1982, journals I write in every morning. My kids, I had to be at work at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I got up at 4 o'clock and study for an hour. You got to discipline yourself to do it. You can't just say, I'm going to do it. You ain't going to do nothing. God is the only one that's going to help you. When you read God's word, you say, Lord, I don't understand that. Ask him. He said, if you like knowledge and understanding, ask me, and I will tell you. You see, we have to discipline ourselves to know the Lord Jesus Christ to be. You know, it's just like, I told you all this crazy illustration. In 19, I get in trouble with my man. 1974, when Joe and I got married, I fell in love. I had a 65 Ford pickup. I would have burned the tires off of it. I'd go every day to Houston to see her if I could. And after she was out of college at Sam Houston, went back home in the summer, I burnt that truck up going back and forth to Houston. Every weekend, I'd go into Houston. That made no difference. That's the kind of relationship you got to have with Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray and talk to my Jesus today before anything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. The kids will get to school on time. They'll get to baseball practice on time. You'll get to work on time if you will put him first. But you got to put him first. I wanted to go to revival last week, but I just didn't have time. I just couldn't work. Why do you want to give the world all your time and leave Jesus out? It should be just the opposite. That's what he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In the end here, in the church of Smyrna, he says, he who has an ear. Do you have ears this morning? I got them, but I got some aids in here to help them. Do you have ears this morning? If you don't, get some hearing aids like me. You can hear good with them. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If you have an ear, open them up and hear what God is saying to you in his word. Read what it says. It's not a poem. A lot of people spend more time trying to figure out what a writer of a book is doing or what a poem says, what the writer is actually trying to say, than he does what it says. This is what it is. As I told y'all in the beginning of Revelation, my deal about helicopters and airplanes and all that stuff, that these writers that wrote books on Revelation say, you know, it's a helicopter. Locust is a tank. And all. Don't you think my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could have said it's going to be a tank or an airplane or a helicopter? He said it's going to be locust. He said that he was going to die on that cross, that he was going to rise again in 3 days. He said, I'm going to go prepare. He walked among 500 people. Brother Cherry touched on this other night. He walked among 500 people. And then he went and he ascended into heaven. And as he left, his disciples were sitting there and had sent angels to him. Ye men of Galilee, what are you doing standing, looking into the air? The one that is left is going to come again, just like he went up. And he's going to come again, and he's going to call you unto him. And we're going to go. So, do you have an ear? Hear what his word says. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcome. Not talking about those churches or those Christians that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I got friends as pastors, and pastors were great men of God, and some of them still think they are. Used to call them on Monday morning or during the week, and they would say, we baptized 10 people Sunday night. You know, we done this. This 6 people got saved. And now they say, we took up $21,000. We took up $5,000. Don't say nothing about God. He said, put him first. He told his church, he said, I know your works. I know you're going through tribulation. He said, I know your poverty. But you are rich in the Spirit of God. You are rich in the Holy Spirit. You are rich in God's Word. You are reaching people. And that's what I'm looking for. And that is who I'm coming after. Hang in there, brothers and sisters. Hang in there. Hang on to that Bible. Don't change. Hang in there. And if you hang in there, he that overcomes is going to win in the end. There's going to be victory in Jesus. Lord, give me one more scripture. And you're going to have to look it up. I don't know where I'm at. John 12:23. Jesus talked to the disciples. And he said, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour has come, church at Oakhurst, to the Son of Man be glorified. It's okay to watch TV. It's okay to pay attention to what's going on. But God said, we just read it, you hang on to me. Don't be deceived. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry. Don't fear. Hang on to me. And he that overcomes, he that has an ear, let him hear what I am saying. He said, don't be surprised. A lot of people this morning, they talk about Putin got his nuclear people ready. And then the next broadcast that they're talking to peace, they're going to meet on the border and talk about peace. You know what the Bible says? When they speak of peace, look up for your depths and draweth nigh. This world ain't going to get no better. Ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. You and I are going to have to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. The point is this morning, are you willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do what this Bible says? Are you willing to live it and do it every day? Are you not ashamed of Jesus to pray? Are you not ashamed of Jesus when you see somebody that in trouble, somebody's hurting, to tell them that you know the answer? Are you not afraid to share Christ with people? Are you not afraid to cut the TV off and read a couple chapters in the morning and pray, or in the evening, or when you go to bed at night? God said, if you do that, go back to it again. He said, if you do that, devil trying to hide Revelation, this last one in there. I'll take all the pages out. I'm getting to it, devil. He says, he has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. He that overcomes will not be hurt. In closing, one day, they may be shooting nuclear missiles. We may be blown off the face of earth. Who knows? We may already be with Jesus. Who knows? But I can tell you one thing. One day, if you're alive and breathing, if you're a human being, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a day, he said, in Thessalonians, where he said, the clouds are going to roll back, and Jesus is going to come right here, and we're going to be down there. He's going to part right here. He said, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Them graves are going to open up. And after them, those who are with Jesus Christ that know him are going to follow. And there's victory in Jesus in the end. Don't let the world knock you down. Don't let the world beat you. Don't worry. God is going to take care of us. We're going to have to suffer, but God is going to take care of us. And ye that hears and holds on to the end is going to heaven. Lord, what a place it'll be. What a joy there be. It was joyful around here last week. It was joyful of the revival going on, and we were fellowshipping and together and laughing and talking. That's what heaven's going to be for eternity. There's not no end of it. It's eternity forever and ever. Do you know him this morning? Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I pray for this church. I pray for these people. Father, we know that we're trying to do right. And we know that you know that, God. Help us, Lord, to understand right now. God, help us to understand that you're coming. Help us to understand, yeah, there's going to be some problems. But as long as we hear you, as long as we read your word, as long as we hold on to that old book, as long as we, God, as we put your word into our hearts and live it, Lord God, we know we don't have to be perfect. We can't do it. Only you can do it. God, and we praise you and honor you and thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now as we stand all over this auditorium, God, that you would pour out your spirit on men and women, teenagers. God, if they don't know you, Lord God, I pray that right now they do. God, if they make that choice today, Lord God. And Father, I'm going to ask again as I did Wednesday night, that every man, woman, teenager in this building that loves you, that knows you, come down here and get on our knees, Lord God, and pray for this situation, Lord God, that's going on in our world, to pray for our enemies, to pray for our church. And God, if there be one here, God, that doesn't know you, I pray that, as Ms. Fruz and Brother Tommy played the first note, God, that they step out of pew, Lord God, and come down here, Lord God, and make it right with you just by saying, Lord, I believe you now. I know that you died. I know that you rose again. I know that I messed up my life, Lord. And I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I believe that you are calling me to you right now. God, I pray that we do that right now, God. And for Christians here, we'll give you a few moments this morning to come here and get out on our knees and pray for all the hurt, all the sickness, all the problems going on in this world, God. It is time, Father, that we get on fire for you. It is time that your spirit be poured out in your precious name, we pray, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.